Hey love, Ashley Han here, online branding and marketing strategist, entrepreneur, author, and coach, and welcome to a brand new special exclusive series of my show called Female on Fire, where I am taking you behind the scenes with incredible, powerful, successful, sexy, radiant females on fire. From spine-tingling pain to power stories, real and raw girl talk, to actionable tools and frameworks that you can use and apply in your own life, it is my intention that as you listen to each of these episodes, you will feel a spark light up inside of you and walk away feeling on fire and radiate that beautiful, unique, powerful flame out into the world. Let's dive in. Gabriela Baraspe is the founder of the Latino Wall Street Movement, which provides financial education in Spanish to the Latino community. She has over 3,000 members to date, and they continue to grow daily. Gabriela also leads in-person seminars throughout all of Latin America and the United States. She was selected for the Forbes Finance Council and has been an expert in the panel since April 2020. She also collaborates with some of the top leaders and celebrities in the Hispanic community to really raise awareness about the underrepresentation of Latinos and especially Latino women in finance. She's been nominated by Yahoo Finance as the top 10 women entrepreneurs of 2020. And she recently also delivered a TED Talk about breaking stereotypes as Latino women in the finance industry. Her passion, and she has so much of it, is to share her knowledge with her audience, especially Latino women like her, so that they can rise to a higher level in their quality of life. Her mission is to eradicate poverty and create generational wealth so that we can all contribute more to our families and communities and thus together achieve a better world. I am so excited for you all to learn from her today, especially if you've been looking to get started in investing and trading in the stock market. You are going to feel amped up and inspired by the end of this episode, and I know I was. So get ready to meet the lovely, amazing Gabriela Baraspe, aka Gabby Wall Street. All right, all right. I have got a super special guest I'm bringing to you ladies today. I'm so excited for you to be on the show, Gabriela, because this is a topic that we really have not dove into yet on the podcast, and it's something that I've actually gotten lots of questions about myself. So I'm really excited to jam out with you. Thank you so much for being part of the Female on Fire series today.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. I'm very excited to be the one who's going to be answering your thousand questions about such an important subject.
Yeah, and fun fact, this is going to be my last podcast episode for a while, ladies listening, because I've decided to put a pause in my podcast so I can focus on other things in my business and also my pregnancy, which... how cool is it that Gabriela and I just figured this out together, that we're both right around the same, like we're both around 24, 26 weeks. So you're 24 weeks, right? Pregnant?
Yeah.
So 24 and I'm 26 weeks. With our first, both of us, this is our first baby. So how amazing is that this is my last episode, and it's also with a woman who is birthing her first child into the world around the same time as me. So cool.
I say there are no coincidences. It's all synchronicity. That's what I believe in.
Totally. I totally believe that. And I believe it's so divine. And there's a reason why I chose this to be my last one. It wasn't, by the way, guys, like listening, I wasn't like planning this out. It just was like, okay, intuitively, I feel like this is going to be my last episode. And I told my team that, and then lo and behold, I get on the podcast and Gabriela realized this. So wow. It's awesome. Amazing. Okay. So, all right. Before we even dive into the questions that I have around investing, the stock market, trading, I really would love to know how you got into this line of work, Gabriela, in such a male-dominated industry.
Yeah, that's such a great question, Ashley. And I think that's everyone's question when they meet me, right? So I went to NYU in Manhattan for college, and my dorm was steps away from Wall Street, right? So I lived downtown Manhattan. And literally a few blocks away, it was the New York Stock Exchange. So I remember, you know, moving there and just being so curious about that world. And during my lunch breaks and during events we would have in school, I had the opportunity to go and surround myself with these people in the finance industry. Now, what caught my attention was that by the time I was 18, I was a freshman in college, right? I was exploring the city, brand new New York City. And I realized that a lot of these New York Stock Exchange traders, like the ones who actually worked on the floor, were very young. And that got my attention because a lot of them were in their early mid-20s. And I was 18. And it didn't seem like, you know, such a huge gap. I actually ended up dating one of them, which is really a funny story. But my whole point was that I started surrounding myself with this young Wall Street traders who taught me so much of what I know now. But the most important thing is that they made me realize that you could be young and make tons of money. You didn't have to be older. You didn't have to have decades of experience. You just needed to know and learn the strategies that they use every single day to make literally billions of dollars. And you can apply that to your own funds, right? So I don't need a billion, even a million to trade, but you can literally start with very little. But I would have never known that if I didn't meet these young guys who taught me all about that during my college years.
Wow, that's awesome. So did you study it in college?
No. So when I was 18 and I chose my major, and that probably happens to pretty much everyone, you don't know, right, what you're doing. So for you to choose something at 18, you're going to do with your whole life, it's a little bit of a stretch. So I chose media and communications because I was moving to New York City. That seemed like the fun thing to do. You know, it's like the heart of all these media companies, and it just seemed like that's what I would want to do. But as I started exploring, doing internships, going to different events, surrounding myself with people in different industries and even students who study different majors, my roommate was in NYU Stern, which is a business school. So as I started becoming more worldly, if you will, I realized, wow, I actually want to do something with finance. And what a great opportunity I have here to break a stereotype, because I also realized that in Wall Street, there were no women and there were no Latinos. So I was like, wow, could you imagine if I could, you know, be a stand for that and actually do something about it?
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. And so true. So true. And by the way, fun fact, in college, I had two majors, which was finance and marketing. When I first started out, I actually worked under, I was like a shadowing the VP of investments at Wells Fargo Advisors. And I thought that was the path I was going to go on, which is he would manage really, really massive portfolios for his like high profile clients. And I thought that was the trajectory I was headed. And then I ended up getting like what you shared about market or about finance is like how I got into marketing. You know, I started discovering, like I met when I moved to San Diego, I met all these like young multimillionaires that were like 22 years old, 24 years old, and they were all in marketing. So it's funny because that also for me was such like a paradigm shift. It was like, it blew my mind. It's like, whoa, that's possible. Like, and I did the same thing. I started hanging out with them. I started learning from them. So it's so cool how like we can be in these different, you know, environments and meet these people that really make such an impact on us and where we decide to go in our own lives, you know, what we decide to create, and they can inspire us in such a powerful way. And I mean, I particularly love your story because you're so right. There's so little, I mean, so many women are just not, you know, they're either, it's just such a male-dominated industry, investing, the stock market, Wall Street. Like you just think of, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, like a bunch of men, you know, and let alone Hispanic women. I know you're a huge stand for that. So I love what you're doing and I love your mission. And it's so beautiful. And I love how passionate, you can clearly see how passionate you are about it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think, you know, who we surround ourselves is everything. So it's so funny. We also have that in common. It's an amazing opportunity when you can learn through others and they teach you what's possible. And that opens up a new world. So I was blessed to be in New York because I'm not sure if I'm originally from Peru. I'm not sure if I would have stayed in Peru, if I would have ever had that opportunity, you know, to really get to know that world from the inside out.
Yeah. And did you get started like right away? How old were you when you actually started investing and trading? And
so I bought my first share when I was 19 years old. I opened my retirement account when I was 20 years old. I really just was so inspired and so blown away when I really understood what it was all about. And I did it with guidance, of course, because I think the most important thing you can ever have is a mentor, right? But this is the thing, that when I was in college, I'm talking about 2008, 2009, right? So this was coming out of the 2008 recession. So that timing was almost like divine timing, because I was able to get into, for example, Facebook shares when they were $20. Right now they're over 300. So I had a lot of these opportunities, and I want people to know that right now we're at a stage where we have plenty of more opportunities, right? For like the new stage that's coming up with artificial intelligence and virtual reality and all that stuff. But in the context of me going to college, it's when all these companies, Facebook, it were just starting out in 08, 09. And I was able to catch that wave, and it completely transformed my life to the point that by the time I was 21, I was able to pay a six-figure student loan from my investing.
Wow. Powerful. Powerful. And I have heard you, like, I've heard you talk about this before, about like the current state of the economy. I'd actually love for you to talk about that with the ladies listening, because, you know, a lot of that talk of like, is it the right time to get in? Is it the right time to invest? And my dad's really passionate about this. And like, I told him, I was like, I wanted him to come on my podcast because he is such an opportunist. He sees literally opportunity in everything. And not just like, not in like a fluffy woo-woo way, like, oh, there's opportunity, everything. It's like, he literally finds the opportunity in everything. And I would love for you to talk about, you know, where we are right now, you know, standing in our economy, and what you see as the opportunity for women listening right now who are like, all right, I don't know much about investing. I don't really know much about the stock market. I'm interested. Maybe they want to get started, but there's just that like hesitance of question mark. Is it the right time? You know, that big question.
Yeah. Well, the answer for that would be, it's never the perfect timing for anything, right? It's never the perfect time to have a kid, to start something new, to start investing. It's never going to be a perfect timing. You have to make it the perfect timing for you. So, for example, right now, we're in a very interesting time in the world, right? Literally a few days ago, Facebook announced they're going into this new stage called Metaverse, where they're going to be focusing on virtual reality. So for all the people who think like, oh, I'm too late, maybe, right? I wish I got in when Gabriela got in when Facebook was $20. Well, right now, they're innovating so much that their potential for growth is unlimited. And that's just one basic example. I think we're at a point where there's so much innovation, there's so many new technologies. We have, you know, blockchain and crypto. And by the way, you can invest through the stock market in cryptocurrency. So without having to buy cryptocurrency, you can invest in specific funds and shares that replicate those movements. So you can participate in pretty much anything in the stock market. And the right timing for that, how I solve that doubt is I simply educate people to do what is called fundamental analysis and technical analysis. So we're never going to invest with our eyes closed based on an opinion because I think something's good. We don't invest that way. The way we invest is based on actual facts, based on actual analysis. And that way you can, you know, make a prediction, because at the end of the day, nobody knows, not even Warren Buffett, number one in the world in the stock market. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but you can make an educated hypothesis if you study the fundamentals of a company, right? Because then it becomes very predictable based on actual documents and facts. And every public company that trades in the stock market is legally, it's legally forced basically to show us all their documents. So that means you can do an X-ray in any company before you put $1 in it. And if you're looking for more short term, so fundamental analysis is amazing for long-term technical analysis where you're analyzing movements and graphs for, it's perfect for short term. So you're never going to be guessing, oh, should I get in today, later, tomorrow? You're going to be looking at actual facts. You're going to be analyzing a company, and based on that, it's going to tell you, you know, what would be the most reasonable thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And you teach women these like key things to look at, key things to look for within a company. Yes. That's something that you actually,
That's all we do in our education. We give people the tools, we give them the knowledge, we give them financial education that for whatever reason, the traditional system never included us, even though for the ones like me who paid a fortune to go to school, to NYU and all these hundreds of thousands, and they don't even include this information. And forget about the stock market. I'm talking about opening a retirement account. I'm talking about diversifying your funds. I'm talking about risk management. At the end of the day, or whatever career you're in, you're going to make actual money, right? I would hope that's how they're going to pay you. So you need to know how to manage money, what to do with your money, how to protect your money, how to multiply your money, right? So I think it's so important to have financial education. I don't think it's optional anymore. I think 2020 taught us a big lesson. So that's what we provide. Yes, all those tools.
That's awesome. So for the women who are really beginners at investing and know little to nothing about the stock market, where does one start? Like, where do you recommend women start who want to get in this?
Yeah. So the number, so the step zero, basically, right before step one, is you need to learn, you need to educate yourself. That can be through books, that can be through a course, that can be through a seminar. So basically there's no excuse. You can just, you know, look for something to educate yourself. That's one. Now, once you have this basic education, you can actually start. What I recommend how you start is buying shares, right? Before we get fancy into options trading and technical analysis and all this stuff, the most basic, easiest, common thing to do is to buy a share or buy multiple shares. There's no rule in the stock market that you have to buy X amount of shares, that I have to spend thousands of dollars. There's no rule that says that. You can literally buy one share. And how much is a share? Well, like in any market, right? It's like if you go to a supermarket, it's every price you can imagine. So there's from penny stocks to stocks like Amazon that cost thousands of dollars for one share. So there's something for everyone. I would never recommend for you to buy shares blindly, randomly. I would recommend for you to educate yourself first and then apply that knowledge. But I would start specifically with shares so you can have stocks, and then you can learn options, which is an amazing strategy to make money in a faster way, right? Because for me, at least, stocks, I use them for long term. Like, I'm not interested in holding Facebook today and selling it tomorrow. I want to participate in the next 10 years of what Facebook is gonna do, because I know since 2008 what Facebook has done to my portfolio. So I have zero interest in selling and using that company, for example, for the short term.
Got it. Yeah, that sounds like that's how I started getting into it. And I'm really personally excited about this episode with you and just knowing you, because I started that. I bought like a few, you know, I think I don't know how many shares I own, but I own three different stocks, and I'm also investing in Bitcoin as well. Which I would actually love to hear your thoughts on. and my fiance is really into investing, and I haven't like sat down with him and I haven't gotten the lowdown. I haven't tried to download any information from him. but I'm considering doing that soon, but he talks about options a lot. So he invests in options, and I've heard him like on the phone, you know what I mean? Like talking about these options. And I think the other, like there's puts and options, right? Puts and options. Yeah. Okay. So I would love to, okay, let's see. And one thing I want to highlight that you said though, before we move forward, is that you don't need a ton of money to start investing. And I really want you guys to hear that right now, because I know that was like a limiting belief that I had, is like how much money to put into it. And like what Gabriella said is you can start with just buying one share in a company and, you know, and start from there. But like that is part of the, that is such a big part of getting into investing, is just deciding and committing and getting in it. Like, cause when you're in it, then you start to, you know, it's like a mindset thing, in my opinion. So, so great. Okay. When you, were talking about, let's go into, I want to ask you, like, can you talk on stock market options and how you see them as like a, I know you talk about it being like a conservative strategy that like is really great at making you like money and having it not be this like you don't need to, it's not long-term, right? It's more trading that you would, it's because trading, just so you guys know, right? Investing is long-term. So you're buying and holding, like she was talking about Facebook, and then trading is more short-term. Like maybe you're trading in like a month. Some people day trade, which is crazy and sounds intense. But can you talk on stock market options a little bit?
Yes. So options are basically trading strategies. Okay. And like the word, I love that word because it's literal. With options, you have so many options. You really can do so much with options. It's crazy. But just to make it simple and to not get too advanced, you can either buy options or sell options. So you can be an options buyer, options seller. I sell options, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because as a seller, when you are a seller, you receive money, you receive what's called a premium, but it's not just because you receive a premium under certain conditions. So for example, if I agree to buy 100 shares, this is the most conservative strategy in Wall Street. I agree to buy 100 shares, but why would I buy 100 shares if I can buy one? Because I'm getting a benefit from that company. They're paying me to buy like a lot of shares, right? And with options, it's 100 shares equals one options contract. So I can buy 200 shares and have two options contract. Why would I do that? Because they're gonna give me a benefit. They're gonna pay me for that, but with conditions. They're gonna ask me, hold on to these shares for a month. You can do it for 2 weeks. Options contracts have expiration dates. So you can actually choose it, how long you're keeping these shares, and you can do it short term. Okay. So I say, okay, I'm going to buy this 100 shares. I'm not going to do it with Facebook. I already explained I'm not interested in doing it with the big companies that I want to hold forever. I would do it with like a cheap share, for example, Space, that's like $20 right now. Okay. So I'm going to buy 100 shares of that. They're going to pay me, they're going to give me a premium to hold those shares for a certain amount of time. And that premium is guaranteed. And this is something that it blows people's minds, because they're like, how can it be guaranteed? It's because I'm buying X amount of shares and I'm agreeing I'll hold them until a specific date. And for that, I get paid. Whatever happens to the shares, it doesn't matter. They can either at the end of the contract buy them from me and I'll have my cash back plus my premium, or they can, you know, depending on the price, it cannot be a good deal for the market, and then nobody buys my shares. So then perfect, because the contract expires and now I have shares and a premium. So I'll either have my cash back and my premium, or still have my shares and a premium. So it's a win-win. What's the worst thing that can happen with this specific strategy? That your shares go down a lot. So then your contract expires. And let's say, and by the way, that's the number one, I guess, fear people have, right? That you're going to have shares that are going to go down. Well, you're with this strategy, you're working with shares. So the worst thing that can happen is your shares go down. No big deal. You wait. When you're an investor, it doesn't matter what you invest in, properties, gold, crypto, shares, whatever, it's going to fluctuate. Like nothing's ever going to be like this or like this. Like it's going to fluctuate. The whole point is for it to fluctuate in an upward in an upward trend, mm-hmm. right? So that's a strategy specifically for selling options. The name, if someone wants to Google it and read about it, is called covered call. That's how they call it. That's just the name, covered call. And I like the word covered because they're basically covering you by giving you a premium.
Like, right? Insurance, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, then there's buying options. And I don't know what your fiance does. If he buys or sells, it'll be interesting to know. But when you buy options, it's more risky. Okay. You're not receiving a premium. You are paying a premium. You're a buyer. You're paying. And when you pay, you can lose the whole thing. Right. So the reason why people love buying options, and most people actually buy options, is because you don't need 100 shares. So I can literally do it with like $20. You know what I mean? I can buy a contract, but I can lose my $20 because I'm putting that money up front, hoping those 20 is going to turn into 40, 60, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, there's nothing guaranteed there. Nothing. So buying
options. When you're buying, you're basically betting that they're going to rise above that premium amount.
Or down, depending. If you buy a call, you're betting it will rise up. If you buy a put, you're betting it will
go down.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. You know what's funny is like, I'm wondering how you ladies are following this right now, listening. Maybe some of you are following more than others. But for me, I actually studied this in college. Like everything you're saying, like you said, covered call. I'm like, oh, I remember that term. You know, it's like all starting to come back to me. And I used to do these like in-depth analyses on companies. And I would turn them into my professor. And I remember my professor bought shares of one of the stocks I evaluated, one of the companies I evaluated, which was GMCR, Green Mountain Coffee Roasters. And anyway, my valuation turned out to be like right on par. And he ended up like, I think, tripling his money in a matter of like 6 months or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So for finance, right? So yeah, that's something you would have studied, but the big majority of people, unfortunately, don't ever get to hear this or even know what the hell options are.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So, I mean, I would say, ladies, you know, listening now, if this is like really intriguing you, go like Google it, do some, you know, research. There's so much out there. That's another thing I was going to ask you is there is so much out there. Like, we know we live in such an abundant world right now when it comes to tools, information, resources. I mean, it's all at our fingertips. Because there's so much, like I have clients where they can just be in the whole learning phase forever without taking action. You know what I'm saying? Where I have others who are like quick start clients who are like, oh, I'm just going to learn a little bit and then I'm going to take some action. So where do you sort of like coach women on, okay, when is enough information to really like get started and, you know, start investing in this way?
Well, to buy shares, really, it's like I said, it's the most simple thing you could ever do in the stock market, like ever. There's nothing easier than buying a share. I still encourage always to learn first. So whether that's one book, you don't have to read 20 books to buy one share. That's crazy. Just one book. So you know what to look for. Whether it's taking one course, whether it's going to one seminar, you can just do one educational thing. And then buy shares with that knowledge, knowing what to look for, not listening to what your neighbor said or your cousin said. Like, you want to be empowered to know what you're doing, to know what to look for. And based on that, apply that knowledge you learned.
Love that. That's perfect. One course, one book. Is there a book that you recommend that you really like stand behind?
Yes. In English, my favorite book is Understanding Options by Michael Sincere. He explains it with such metaphors in such an easy way. He also has another book that's Understanding Stocks, but the Understanding Options book is just, I think there's no other book in English that's explained. It's just so easy to get. It really is. He does examples like with houses and just, I love that type of teaching where he gives you like metaphors and examples and breaks it down. So that's what I would recommend. I actually have a book about options, but it's in Spanish.
Oh, I know. Most of your content, by the way, if you go follow Gabriella, you'll see all of her content. I was going on your page. I'm like, I don't understand any of these books.
Like, all right, well, I'm looking forward to this conversation because we're talking in English and I can understand English.
Yeah.
So great. Awesome. Thank you for that. And then we'll put your book in the show notes just because I'm sure I have some listeners who will be able to read that and enjoy that. So I'll put that in there as well for the ladies. Okay. So one thing I wanted to highlight, and I just don't want to like run past it because I think this is very, very important. You said it, which is stocks fluctuate. So if the stock does, like worst case, which you said, like the worst case is the share you buy, it just drops in value. And what I've seen, and actually my mom's like kind of been dabbling in the stock market. And this happened with, I don't remember what the stock was, but anyways, it dropped. And she was like, I think I'm going to sell. And I was like, Mom, and I was like, hold on, just hold on. And that's the thing, right? It's so interesting because it like does, like there's this kind of fear that comes over you. Like, oh, I got to get out then because it's falling. And in those moments, now I would love to hear your take on this, Gabriella. But what I've learned, like even when Bitcoin, remember when Bitcoin just whoosh, dropped? So I
remember that.
Yeah. And like I bought in and I remember I was like so excited. I was super bullish on Bitcoin. I had Litecoin and it was like just rising up. And then just within, it was like 4 days or something after I bought, or 5 days after I bought, it was like boof, like crashed all the way down. I'm like, what the? And in that moment, right, I could have just been like freaked out, sold everything, but I didn't. I held on to it. I'm like, what goes up must come down. You know, it's a fluctuation, you know, and this happens in the stock market. So I held my ground and I'm so happy I did because now I'm at double now. You know, what my original investment was. And if I hadn't, imagine if I had just sold and, you know, called that, you know, had that loss, I wouldn't have been able to see the gain that I'm seeing today. So I'd love for you to speak into that psychology mindset component for the women listening.
Yeah. So the reason why we hear so many people losing money in the stock market is because we're emotional beings. And the second you see red in your portfolio, you get scared. That's actually a very normal reaction, right? You see, you know, those numbers in the screen, you're down, you're losing. And by the way, you don't lose unless you click sell and you take a loss.
Yes.
It's just numbers on the screen. And based on what you do or you don't do, then that's the result, right? So what I recommend is to, this is why financial education is so important, because you need to be able to distinguish what's an artificial drop versus a drop that's based on fundamentals. So for example, if there's a rumor that something's happening with a company, I don't know, some scandal or something, that actually does affect the price of the share. So you will see it drop. Or I'll give you an example, just because I kept mentioning Facebook. There was a glitch in their communications recently with WhatsApp and Instagram, and we kind of got like frozen and we couldn't use the apps. So the shares did get affected that specific day because nobody knew what was going on. And it was like, whoa, what's happening? But again, that's a temporary thing. That's not based on a fundamental, like the company's going broke or they lost a huge deal with one of their biggest partners. It's just a glitch happened, something happened. So then the stock drops because the stock is like a person. The stock actually reacts to things. It really does. It's really funny. And you know, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the company. It's just a temporary thing. So if you're down, if you see a red number, you need to be educated. You need to do your research. Hopefully, you know a few things about the company you're investing in. And you need to be aware if that's something that's just like a rumor, a temporary thing, a glitch, something that's artificial, quote unquote, or something that can have a real impact. Right. So that's the main thing. And I cannot emphasize this enough, like being able to control your emotions, it's going to be what allows you to thrive in this industry. This is not for people who are extremely emotional, who get extremely scared, who are extremely reactive. I see one red number, I'm going to get out. Like, you're never going to make money that way because stocks are going to go up and down every single day. Now, stocks are more volatile. Like you mentioned crypto. Well, crypto is extremely volatile, which means it has very aggressive ups and downs. But there are other ones, like the stocks that are part of the Dow 30, that offer really good dividends. That just means that just for holding the stock, the company gives you a dividend, right? They give you a benefit. They pay you just for holding a stock. And these are not options just for the stock. So those stocks tend to be a lot more stable. So for example, AT&T, it fluctuates like a couple dollars in like year, you know? So, you know, there's different levels to different, you know, stocks and investments. So you have to choose based on your personality. Maybe my personality cannot handle the ups and downs of a cryptocurrency, but maybe I can handle just a little tiny fluctuations. And which ones are those? Those are the stocks that offer the most dividends, because the corporations and the hedge funds, they're not going to take their billions of dollars out of these companies just like that. So that makes them more stable, and they're actually making money just by holding them. So this is what we have to think about when we're concerned about something dropping.
Yeah, yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. And the dividends are monthly, right? Monthly dividends, typically, the monthly payments.
Every 3 months, quarter is the dividend. Some companies sometimes make changes. Actually, in 2020, a lot of companies canceled the dividends because they couldn't afford to pay all their investors. And I'm talking about big companies. So you kind of have to stay on top of that. But basically, when you analyze the stock, when you research a stock, it will tell you if it offers dividends or not. Sometimes it's very little. Sometimes it's a lot, right? So
those are larger companies, usually like blue chip companies, would you say?
Yeah. Like if you Google Dow 30 stocks, it will give you a whole list of those 30 companies that offer the most dividends. And it just makes them more stable. That's what it is.
Those are the buy and holds.
Yeah. Because in a crash, the last thing people pull out of are the ones with dividends, because those are the ones that are giving you residual money. And you know, the people who move the stock market are not individual investors like you and I. They're actually the hedge funds, corporations, and institutions that have billions of dollars, right? So obviously, if they pull out, you know, the stock would drop, but they tend to not do that from the ones that gives them all this residual income.
Yeah, cool. And I love what you said, by the way, about it is, you know, someone who is emotionally reactive. You know, this is like, really, I feel like for someone who really wants to practice emotional intelligence, get in the stock market and start investing, you know, because it's actually, that's what it is. Like you're kind of in that dojo, like you're navigating your emotions, and you're like, I remember when that happened with Bitcoin, like, of course, that was like upsetting. And I was not, you know, thrilled about that by any means, because I had all these, you know, high hopes of making all this money pretty quickly, based on what somebody had told me. And then when that happened, like to not go into a place of fear, scarcity, panic, you know, it's the work. So I kind of like that, because that's my game. I love emotional intelligence. Anyone listening knows that about me. So this, for anyone who wants to really, I would say, practice their emotional intelligence, their emotional mastery, like I see this as a really great opportunity for that. And coming in with that intention, like knowing that this can get emotional. Emotions may happen. Unexpected things happen that you just can't predict, right? And that's the name of the game. And it's also such a beautiful metaphor for life. Like when you were saying about how, you know, you're seeing red, remember you were like, when you're seeing red on your portfolio and you're like, oh shit, da, 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 like maybe I should sell, like maybe you got to get out of here. What that reminded me of is when in life, like in any business, by the way, marketing, whatever business you're in or whatever line of work you're in, there's going to be times where there's a dip, right? There's going to be times where we fail because we're human, and that's part of life. And it's in those moments that define you most. What do you do in that moment? How do you respond in that moment? Do you throw in the towel? Do you give in, or do you keep going? Right? How do you flex and shift and learn and respond in a way that actually is emotionally intelligent and will support you in your ascension and in your growth. Like, I saw that as such a perfect like metaphor, because it's the same thing. It's literally the same thing, just in the context of stocks and trading. It's like seeing that red and okay, are we just going to throw in the towel and give up? Are we going to actually take this as an opportunity to, like you said, look at the fundamentals of the company, learn a little bit, see, you know, is this an emotional reaction of the market? You know, did somebody put a tweet out that everyone freaked out about? You know what I mean? Like, so it's, you know, I just thought that was such a beautiful, so thank you for saying that. And ladies listening, I'm hoping you're seeing, drawing that connection as well. So super powerful.
Yeah, I always say the stock market, it's like a game, because it almost puts like a spotlight on you and what you have to work on. So if you are a very reactive person full of fear, that's all going to come to the surface when your stocks are in red. But guess what? It has nothing to do with those stocks, but everything to do with how you handle those situations and what you have to work on. If you're a very patient person, then that's gonna shine, right? When you're in the middle of you know, a dip or a crisis, right? Like last year, how many people lost money because they thought the world was going to be over and they hadn't studied the Great Depression, the terrorist attacks, and everything that has happened to America that was just as bad or even worse. And look at what the stock market does. So it always retraces. So, yep. You know, you just need a little bit of, I think education is what makes you confident in this industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Love that so much. You're getting me all excited, Gabriella. I'm like, I'm excited about, you know, to get more into investing and trading. This is so cool. Okay. So I love that we talked on mindset, and I really believe, like, you know, the psychology of an investor, which I know is something you're super passionate about and you teach. And it's so great too, that you're working with women on this. Cause yeah, I mean, hello, women, we can be a little bit more emotional than the average male. Okay. So this is important work for us, you know?
Yeah. And we're also not represented in the finance industry, right? We're literally a minority. Mm-hmm. Forget about, you know, Latino women, just women in general though. So that's something that I love to do, because I feel like I've attracted so many women in my community. We're over 80% women. And I think it's because they see themselves in me and they're like, oh my God, she's a woman too. And she's young. Like, if she can do it, why wouldn't
I? Yeah. Oh, I love that. So good. Okay. So, I did kind of, we're nearing the end of the episode, but there was, I did kind of want to hear your thoughts, and it can be super quick, on Bitcoin and also NFTs.
Yeah. So crazy story. Now that you just brought it up, I have a friend, here in Puerto Rico, who's an investor. He's also at 20, very young, actually younger than me, in his mid 20s. He just created an NFT and sold 10,000 of those for 300 each and made 3 million in like 1 week.
What?
Yeah. And I know him, and it's crazy. And I was just as freaked out as you. And this is public records, actually, because you can actually see, like, if, you know, I give you the name, it's Divine Anarchy. You can like research it and you can see this, an actual
thing. Oh my gosh. I know Gerard was showing me, because first off, if you're listening to this, maybe you know NFTs are. Cool. And maybe some of you are like, what the hell is that? Like, what? Because that was me and Gerard. I remember Gerard was my fiance, and Brian Donovan, which is one of his business partners, they were sitting at the table talking about NFTs. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And they're showing me this like art, you know, this art. And like, I'm just like, wait, what? And they're telling me all these like, oh, this one sells for like a million. I'm like, wait, huh? Like, I was so confused. So anyways, it just, blows my mind.
It's a crazy world. What I would say about that industry, and very quickly, because I'm not an expert in cryptocurrency, I want to leave that clear. I'm an expert in the stock market, and specifically, you know, stocks and options trading. But cryptocurrency, I do have an expert in my team who's a crypto pioneer, which means he was there since day one when everyone thought it was bullshit, when it was a couple dollars. Like, he's like the real pioneer in cryptocurrency. Now everyone's into it, right? But yeah, who was there literally on day one when this was worth nothing? He was. So I'm lucky to have him on my team. But what I would just say is that it's the future, right? Blockchain, crypto, NFTs, that's the future. I think we're about to see them, all of this skyrocket into the end of the year. I do think there's incredible potential. And I think just the fact that corporations and big institutions have started using these things has been key, because that makes them mainstream. Before, it was more of like the underdog and like, who the hell has a cryptocurrency? Now it's like, who doesn't, right? Yeah. And at the end of the day, economics is just supply and demand. So more demand, we're just gonna push all of that higher, give them more exposure. And I think it already has made, you know, and I don't know the number, but so many millionaires at such a young age, for example, my friend. But I think it will continue to do that as we move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that, actually, from the limited amount of research and stuff that I've looked into as well. So, yeah. Awesome. So much. Like we could go on and on in this conversation. So much to talk about. Okay. So I'm going to finish this episode off with a question that I ask every woman that comes in my Female on Fire series. And I'm excited to hear from you, Gabriella. What is one thing about you, and this is like personally or professionally, one thing that you've noticed about you that you used to dim or maybe hide or maybe even shame about yourself that you have since reactivated and reignited on your journey to becoming the incredible female on fire that you are today?
Definitely enthusiasm. I went to a British school back home and we were taught to be, you know, classy young ladies. Since I was very little, I was kind of like brainwashed that a woman doesn't speak too loud and, you know, we don't move our hands too much. And just thinking about, you know, being enthusiastic and, you know, raising my voice. And I've actually had to get out of my comfort zone because I was so trapped in this like very specific way of being. Mm-hmm. But when I was able to just let go, like, who the hell put those thoughts in my head? I mean, I have an idea about who, but that's not, you know, the way I'm supposed to be. I can just be authentic. And if I'm really excited, I can really, you know, raise my voice, raise my arms. And since I started doing that, I actually ended up getting a lot of public speaking engagements, like TEDx and conferences around the US and Latin America. And, you know, just having that opportunity to reach so many people, what people would tell me at the end was, what sold me was your energy and your enthusiasm, which was exactly what I used to hide when I was younger.
Wow. Yeah, what came to me when you were saying that is like this, you know, a lot of women also, I'm part Japanese, and in the Asian culture, many Asian cultures, and especially, you know, I know this about Japanese cultures, they're taught to be small, like small movements, small. Like one time I was eating, I was having ramen, and I have my uncles were in the room, and it was kind of like a formal dish. But anyways, I'm eating ramen and I'm just eating ramen like normal. Apparently I took a bite that was like too big to be like polite for a woman. And my grandma Yoko just smacks the chopsticks out of my hand, like in the mid bite. You know, I'm like still learning the culture. I was like super young, but I really, what I heard you say in that is that you were taught at a young age to be small and fit this sort of mold. And then finally you were able to realize that you're meant to be big. And like, you've been expressing yourself, which is something that I am a huge stand for women to really just, I mean, that's part of your fire as a woman, is to be able to just express yourself and be big and be bold and be brave and be enthusiastic, as you said, and passionate. So I love that. And I love that you said that from being that way and activating that within yourself, you were attracting big opportunities, right? When we are big, we attract big. So it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. It's really hard to let go, like you said, with like cultural, you know, because they're so ingrained in us, you know, and my culture is very sexist. And I was always taught like I would kind of just be like a quiet, you know, behind my husband or them. But when I moved to the United States, I was at NYU, I was like, you know what? These people are crazy. Like, I don't know what makes them think this is how life should be. And when you're able to let go and just find yourself and do what's authentic to you, yes, I think that's when you really shine and can accomplish big things.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Well, Gabriella, thank you so much for everything that you've shared on this episode today. Like I said in the beginning, I've gotten questions from women and also some of my clients. I'm not an investor. Don't ask me. That's not something I've really dove into. I'm inspired to do that. That's why another reason why I was super excited about our call or our episode today is so that I can even get more into it, because it's something I've been interested in diving more into as well. And for the women that have asked me this, and I know so many women are interested in the stock market and in trading and investing, and it can be something that feels intimidating for women because we see it being such a male-dominated industry. So thank you, Gabriella, for being a stand and for being a source for women everywhere to create massive amounts of success and wealth through trading, through investing. I think it's a beautiful thing what you're doing for so many women out there.
Thank you so much, Ashley. And yeah, I actually do have some English content. I have a Forbes column. If you just type my name on Forbes on Google, my column will show up, and I have tons of articles I've written the last 2 years. So that's also a way that, you know, people who only speak English can follow me, because my social media and my books and my courses, they are all in Spanish. But yeah, you can read my articles too.
Well, you're going to have to, next step for you is you're going to have to translate all that so that we can get some of my listeners in on that. That's the next step, getting some translated courses so you can start serving everyone, because I love your energy and I love what you're up to. And I just think so many, like, I think every woman gets to experience you, especially women who are interested in really learning about this. I think that you're such a great role model. So thank you for being with us today, and thank you for sharing your heart and your wisdom with us. And I will put everything in the show notes for everyone listening so they can go stalk you. And also I'll get that link to your Forbes column as well, so I can just easily link that in there too for the ladies to go check out. And thank you so, so much, Gabriella, for being a part of the show today.
Thank you, Ashley. I loved spending this time with you and with everyone. Thank you.
If this episode spoke to you, and especially if you're a driven, ambitious woman who is ready to dive deep so you can rise up to the next level and become truly unstoppable against any and all obstacles in your way, go to femaleonfire.net now. It is time to reignite that spark inside of you so you can radiate it out. Those parts of you that have been lying dormant, that you've been hiding, muting, shaming. It's time to reignite that flame inside of you so you are lit up from the inside out, irresistible, magnetic, in command of every room and every situation, and no one ever, ever forgets your name. Go to www.femaleonfire.net. That's femaleonfire.net, or click the link in the show notes to learn more. You can also shoot me a DM on Instagram that says FOF for Female on Fire now. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and especially for rating, reviewing, and sharing the episode. You're amazing. I love you. Have a powerful day.